God bless you all. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're so thankful, Lord, that you are here, and believing your presence has come down in this hour. We thank you, Father, for just watching over us and touching us and knowing that we have an eternity together. And Lord, we just honestly, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, this morning we're going to take Satan's Eden 235, the DNA of God, Part 3, and I'm calling it Identification. And this morning we'll look at one last time on the subject of DNA of God. And this will be the third in this series on the DNA of God. And as I mentioned, God has attributes and characteristics, so his DNA is his thoughts, which are his attributes. So let me just say that again, because God has attributes. We don't have a problem with that, right? Brother Branham said his thoughts are his attributes, okay? Well, God's not a man, so he doesn't have a physical being. So his DNA is his thoughts, because that's his attributes, okay? Now, men have a chemical chain or bond that they understand to make up their DNA chain, okay? That understanding is based on their limited understanding of what life really is. They can't see spirit with their instruments. Now, these chemicals, which make up the twisted pair ladder shaped of the DNA, are not actually the DNA itself. Now, they call it that. Scientists, oh, that's your DNA. That's not your DNA. The DNA chain is composed of repeating units called nucleotides, which consisting of three chemical components. Now, that's the official definition. Our brother Bram told us about the six common elements of the body, or elements of the earth, including more than 97% of the mass of humanity, of human being. And they are carbon, hydrogen, nitrogen, oxygen, sulfur, and phosphorus, which basically what makes up the earth. Now, Brother Bram didn't mention all of them at one time, but he mentioned them in separate times, like he talked about sulfur and phosphorus and carbon and things like that. So basically, these are the building blocks of all living organism. And the DNA is a phosphate group. When he says you're made up of phosphorus, that's the phosphate group. And the deoxyribose sugar molecule and one of four nitrogenous based groups, okay, in other words, nitrogen, are adenine, thymine, cytosine, and guanine. Now, the phosphate groups and deoxyribose sugars are alternate to form the sugar phosphate backbone of each DNA strand. I know I'm going over your heads, but just bear with me. The nitrogenous bases or base project full inward from this backbone and pair specifically. Okay, adenine with thymine. Remember, they're both nitrogenous or homogeneous. How do you say that, Peter? Nitrogenous? Okay. Adenine and thymine and cytosine with guanine, okay, they pair together and via hydrogen bonds to form the rungs of the double helix, okay? This structure creates a stable double-stranded molecule where the sequence of the where the sequence of the bases encodes genetic information. Okay, now this is all gobbledygook, but this is all, you know, what man's looking at. Okay, man looks at the physical. They don't look at the spiritual. All right. The chemicals themselves are not the life, however. But they are the fundamental building blocks and the environment in which life emerges. Now, that word emerges is an interesting word, because how does life emerge? Emerge means to come forth into view. Or notice, as from concealment or obscurity. In other words, it's invisible. So
Two-thirds of you, soul and spirit, is invisible. All right? In other words, it means to come into existence, okay? So that means it had to be somewhere, and the Bible tells us it was in God's thinking. So life cannot be seen because it's spirit, unless it is cloaked in dust or some form of the earth. And Brother Branham said the six elements, okay? And that is what the DNA of man is, the DNA twisted ladder of chemicals, which, you know, it looks like a ladder, but it's twisted, okay? All right, so don't think science knows what life is. They can create the covering, but they cannot create the life that is within the covering. Now, God spoke it before the foundations of the earth. However, man can create the physical strand or chain, the chemicals, but those chemicals are nothing but the six elements that make up earth until God places that DNA of life in them. His DNA of life, his attributes, okay? Now, the attributes of the invisible life are actually what gives the DNA its essentialities. It also makes up its intrinsic nature, which manifests their characteristics of God life, because the life was in the God seed to begin with, and that is what God sowed in the earth in Genesis 1:11. So God sowed all of your seeds, every seed that ever will be on this earth, in Genesis 1 and 11, in a spirit form. Like Brother Vail gave me his notes on Logos years ago, and he said, when God said, let there be a horse, there was a spirit horse. But then God closed the spirit horse, and, you know, he closed everything in chapter 2, okay? So we did, from the Church Age book, he says, we did not become seed by the new birth. See, there's a misnomer amongst many, many people. And many people think that, well, when I'm born again, I become a son of God. No, you always were a son of God. You always were seed. It's just that you were invisible, okay? And so then when you're born, that body is there, and then the spirit comes into that body, all right, to give it life. Because the body that's born Brother Branham says it's quivering muscles and things, but the life comes into it, giving it life. Okay. So, let me just read. We did not become seed by the rebirth. We were seed and therefore were reborn, for only the elect can be reborn. Because we were seed is the reason we could be quickened. In non-seed, there is nothing to quicken. You hear me? In non-seed, if you weren't in the mind of God, I'm sorry, but there's nothing to quicken to God. There's no life there, okay? In other words, we were not just earth. And then when we were born again, we become God's seed or sons of God. We were seed or thoughts of God to begin with. See, this is so beautiful because if God, there's only one form of eternal life, and that's God life. And so if you were in God's thinking, you were an attribute or a DNA of God. That's the only way you can have eternal life, is that you were in his thinking before the foundation of the world. And in Genesis 1:11, God placed all seeds in the earth that ever will be in existence. And every seed is ordained to bring forth after its kind. So we were ordained to bring forth after God's own life and mind. Isn't that wonderful? In other words, you don't have to struggle. You don't have to press. You don't have to force yourself to be a Christian. You do it by a natural, God-given DNA that's in your body. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Now, it might conflict with your human DNA. Get rid of it. Then just, look, you've got to die out to your human side and let the God side reign, okay? So as I said last week, if we were in God as a thought, that thought was an attribute of God, the word, the Logos. Thus, we were the DNA of God in flesh. Now, from question and answer, Brother Branham said, when man was made in the image of God, and then God came down in the image of man to redeem man, that brought man and God together. Heavens and earth hugged and kissed each other. In other words, the invisible and the visible hug and kiss, okay? God and man embrace each other as fatherhood and sonship. When the Logos became flesh and dwelt among us, Jesus said, I came from God, I go to God. Is that right? After his death and burial and resurrection and ascension, when the body was taken up to sit at the right hand of God, now that don't mean God has a big right hand, God's a spirit. But at the right hand means in the power and the authority of God. That in that name, everything in heaven is named after it and subject to it. Everything in earth is named after it and subject to it. That's our name, Jesus, all of us, Jesus, okay? A name above all names, Jesus Christ. Remember, the Bible says the whole family of God is named Jesus, okay? Now, this Logos that was in him, which was the Spirit of God, the anointing, though through the sanctifying grace of the blood, remember, the blood is what made it efficacious to us, brought many sons of God, which is anointed with this same Logos. Jesus was the Logos that came out of God, the fullness of God, in manifested form, and now you are the Logos of God in your form, okay? As I mentioned before, God knew what attributes, what genes that you would look like. God knew what you'd look like before the foundation. How many believe that? God knew what I would look like before the foundation of the world. Okay? You believe that? All right. Now, if God knew what you'd look like, how'd he get you there? It wasn't a mistake your parents met. It wasn't a mistake your parents' parents met. It wasn't a mistake your grandparents met. See, you got to have the right set of chromosomes and genes to look like you do. So God has everything under control. All things work to the good of those that love the Lord and are thee called according to his purpose. You see that? So we were anointed with the same Logos that went out of God. And so with this in mind, we're going to take point three. Point three, number three, will be Jesus Christ was so much in the image of the Father that he did not come to express himself, but he came to declare his Father. Remember, Brother Vail told us, he said, God created himself a body and he loaned it to his son, okay? Jesus himself said in John 1:18, no man has seen God at any time, the only begotten son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And the word declare means to express forth, to bring forth by expression. It was translated from the Greek word exegeomai, okay? And we know the first part of the word, which is exe, it means to exit from or to bring forth. And then placing that before the root word genomai, which speaks of genetics or the genes themselves, it tells us that to declare the Father was to express the attributes and characteristics which make up the Father. Therefore, we are looking at the statement Jesus made as being thus, God is spirit, therefore he is invisible. And no man has seen him at any time, but the only begotten or uniquely begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. He expressed the Father by manifesting and showing forth his attributes and characteristics to the people. Now, as I mentioned before, you've probably all been curious. You know, you see these videos where people say, well, I died and I was killed in a car accident. I was killed by a bullet in church. I was done this. I was done, you know, killed this way, that way. But in all the cases, they say, I rose above my body. I looked down upon my body. I saw my parents weeping over my body. I saw the ambulance, you know, guys, you know, pulling out the wreckage. I saw all of this. But yet, I was at peace. I was floating up there looking down and I didn't have any pain. I didn't have any suffering. I didn't have any grief. I didn't have any anxiety. I didn't have any of those issues that this flesh allows us to have. All right. So what they are saying is they were in their spirit body. Now, the Bible says if the body of this death be taken, if God takes his body, if this body passes away, he has another one already waiting in the heavens, okay? And so we understand that we are spirit and soul and body. So the body is only the physical way that we can touch the earth, okay? But our spirit and our soul is what touches God. You understand? All right. That was the purpose of the Son of God coming into the world, not to receive life, for he was with the Father before the world was framed, but to receive the body that could express the Father in a visible form that man might know through an experiential knowing. In other words, he wants us to touch him and feel him. Remember, he said to Timothy, touch me here. And okay. Now, John 17:3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And I have glorified thee on earth. What is glorified? It's N, doxa, that's the values, opinions, and judgment of God, and zoe, which is the life. So it's I have expressed your opinions, I expressed your values, etc. All right? I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the foundations of the world. Okay. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Remember, he said, I come in my Father's name. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou givest me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee. And they have believed that thou didst send me. As thou hast sent me into the world, as means in the same way, so Jesus is saying, in the same way you sent me into the world, I will send them into the world. Now, Brother Bram said in his sermon, Time Tested Faith, Jesus was the body, the Son of God, but God dwelt in Christ. Now, Jesus said, the Son can do nothing of himself, St. John 5:19, but what he seeth the Father doing, that doeth the Son likewise. Now, did you ever read that? Then he didn't do nothing till the Father showed him in a vision what to do. Now, you see, the Bible's infallible. Jesus said, the scriptures cannot be broken. Jesus said that. Now, and then if Jesus said, I can do nothing until the Father shows me first what to do, the Father worketh and I worketh hitherto. In other words, like God projecting himself doing something and Jesus stepping into that vision and doing it, okay? That's what he's saying there. In other words, he acted out in drama what the Father showed him to do. Now watch each case. Every time you find it's the same way. Unless that was the people's faith. Now we notice this. Then again we find, he said, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. Now the Father that sent him was with him and in him. The Father that sent him went with him and in him. Well, the Jesus that sends us goes with us and in us, see? So Jesus shows us what to do. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so, or in the same way, I have also sent them into the world. In other words, Jesus went with us. And Brother Bram said that God sent him and went in him. All right. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself. That means I'm set aside. That they also might be sanctified through the truth, that they might be also set aside through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory, the doxa, the opinions, the values, and judgments, the attributes you gave me, I have given them. The DNA you gave me, I have given them. Which thou gavest me, I have given them. All right? That they may be one, even as we are one. So God's attributes, his thoughts, his doxa, his DNA, makes us one with God as Jesus and God were one. Don't you see why the doxa of God is so important to us? That's his DNA. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou gave me be with me where I am. Isn't that wonderful? That they may behold my glory, my doxa, my DNA, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundations of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and I will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. And then John 12:27. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this world. He knew what was coming forth. He knew the trials he had to go through, but he was willing to do it because it was part of God's plan. Now, from the body, celestial body, terrestrial, question and answers, Brother Brown said, this is a dying spirit in a dying body. But now you can't be in two bodies at one time. But there can be two natures in you at one time. Now, the nature of the Spirit of the Lord. In other words, you might have the nature from your parents, the nature that's your flesh, like a dog has a nature, a cat has a nature. You as a human have a nature, and that's going to die. It has to die. But you have another nature that comes from God. And that's what you want to feed. You want to, like the Indian chief said, there's two dogs that are warring within me, a black dog, a white dog. He said, who do I feed? Or who's winning? And he says, the one I'm feeding the most. See? When you're born again, you're not born of physical like a baby was, but what's happened? The spiritual body has come to you. And while the spiritual body is growing into your heart of God, there is a physical or celestial body growing to receive the Spirit. So when you're born again, just like in the physical sense, you're born as a baby. You're not born as an adult. So don't expect as a Christian you're going to become super mature and super duper, you know, understanding, and you're not. But you grow up into that, you see? And so when the life leaves this body, it goes to that body. Just as when the body is presented to the earth, the spirit comes in, and when the body goes out of when the life goes out of the spirit goes out of the body, there is a body waiting. So, you know, you're not left hanging. You're not a piece of physical cloud floating around in space. You actually have a body that you go to. For we know that after this earthly tabernacle is be dissolved, we have one already waiting. See, that's it, the spiritual body of the people. All right, then he says, dear Brother Branham, what is the difference when Jesus breathed on the disciples and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost, and when they had to go to the upper room to tarry? It was a promise he gave them. In other words, receive it. It's a promise, okay? So, it was a promise he gave them, breathed upon them his promise, said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. It was a promise. They went to the upper room to wait for the promise to be fulfilled. The same thing is when we lay hands upon you to be healed. Then you go about your business waiting for the promise to be fulfilled. Now, we know the new birth speaks of, as Jesus said, he that is born of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, must be spirit, for every seed must bring forth after its kind or its nature. Then if you have been born again by the Spirit of God living in you, okay, or the living God, you will receive the very nature of the living God into your being. And then if your Father is holy, for he's called the Holy Spirit, then if you have received his seed life, his holy seed life, therefore, his nature in your mortal being will know, must, not just will, but must then be holy and cannot help but to be holy. All right? God will not place his Holy Spirit in an unholy vessel. Now, from question and answers, Brother Branham said, this is a dying spirit in a dying body. But now you can't be in two bodies at the same time. But there can be two natures in you at the same time. Now, the nature of the Spirit of the Lord, when you're born again, you're not born a physical like the baby was, but what's happened, the spiritual birth has come to you. And while this spiritual birth is growing in your heart of God, there is a physical or celestial body growing to receive that spirit. And when the life leaves this body, it goes to that body. I can't wait, because this body is, you know, it's like a seed that's been planted in the ground. It's rotten, okay? And it's about reached its rottenness. Just as when the body is presented to the earth, the spirit comes in, and when the spirit goes out of the body, there is a body waiting. For we know that after this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting. See, that is the spiritual body of the people. Now, what distinguishes the Father from the Son is that the Son did not know all things and had a beginning. He said, no man knoweth the time of season except the Father. From question and answers on Hebrews, now the oneness teaching of the oneness church, I certainly disagree with them thinking that Jesus is one like your fingers one. Now I'm going to just stop here just a minute. All right, so Brother Branham said, and the Bible says, no man will understand the season except the Father. In other words, a human vessel, even God's human vessel in the body itself is limited by the body's ability to have the right mental process going on. Now, sometimes a prophet would see a vision. That was different because he could see a vision of one thing or two things, and you know, even a whole mass of people, and then he'd be wiped out for 40 some hours. All right? Just too much on him. It's like you cram and cram and cram and cram and cram for to study in school, and then you're just wiped out. It's just too much. But when we have a body that's not limited to this physical earth, we're going to know as he's known. Isn't that wonderful? All right. So, Brother Brown then says, I certainly disagree with the oneness Pentecostals, thinking that Jesus is one like your fingers one. We had to have a father, or he had to have a father. If he didn't, how could he be his own father? And his father was a man, like the Trinitarians say, that if the father was a man, like the Trinitarians say, then he was born an illegitimate birth with two fathers, because Holy Ghost is his father and God is his father, like the Trinitarians say. So you see, you're both wrong by arguing, see? But the truth of it is that your Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is one personality. God dwelling in a tabernacle of flesh to take sin from the world, that's exactly God with us. Now, from preparation, he says, when God comes down and puts his spirit into you, then you're no more your own, but your God's. In Brother Branham's sermon, Rising of the Sun, he said, now, if there is another gospel, as Paul spoke to one of the groups, I am so surprised that you turned to another gospel, which there is no other but a make-believe gospel, to a denominational fiction, turning from the good news. And because I live, you live also, and I live in you, and the works that I do, John 14:12, the works that I do will identify myself in you. Oh, what a message. No wonder we've had a dark world of theology. But in the evening time, there shall come light again. There will be a resurrection in the evening time. It shall be light at the evening time. If we have spoken on this not so long ago, we have spoken on this not so long ago, and showed he is speaking from Galatians 1:6-9. Now, I have spoken about this many times over the years, but not so much in the past dozen or so. And so we will go a little more into this before we move along. Now, Brother Branham, in referring to another gospel, he is referring to what the Apostle Paul had to say in Galatians 1:6-9. So let's read that for ourselves. Galatians 1:6 says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Now notice the removal is from Christ to a certain form of gospel. In other words, you could be removed from the Word, which is God, to a creed, to a denomination, to a churchianity, to a church politic, okay? Now this word another, as I mentioned a few weeks ago, was translated from the Greek word heteros, which means of a different nature. So they are removed from the person of Christ to a good news of another nature. It sounds strange why someone would remove the author and finisher of their faith for just mere doctrine. Or it's remarkable that someone would turn down the words of this Bible for, say, a Joel Osteen who just preaches a society doctrine, okay? Let's all join the group. There's 10,000 of us, so we're going to be powerful. No, your pocketbook's going to be powerful, is what he's saying. Then Paul gets more specific when he says, which is not another. Now this word another is not the word heteros, but the word allos, which means a different altogether. So Paul says you have removed yourself from the very person of Christ who called you unto a gospel of a different nature. But it is not of an altogether different gospel, but it is just a perversion of the real. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ, okay? So this perversion was caused by some who would trouble you. That means this perversion comes by men. Now this word pervert was translated from the Greek word metastrepho, which means to transmute. Isn't it interesting? It's transmute and all these people think that they are trans people. Yeah, they are trans people. They are perverted people, okay? And to transmute something means that you change its nature from one thing to another, like from a man to a woman. To change from one nature, substance or form, or condition into another, to transform. And if our DNA is a message, then to transmute that message means that we are left with a transmutation of our DNA. Isn't that what they're doing? You know, you give them hormone therapy, you take your snippers out and do certain things, and you make them different from what they are. Well, let's just craft into this vessel of clay what we want to craft. And most times, a transvestite man was raised by a woman's liver. You find that so true. And they wonder what happened because they affected the boy's mind. And then he went the woman's way, okay? So if our DNA is a message, now every one of you have a specific message to declare God in your specific way, all right? But you start snipping and altering their genes by giving them gene therapy and giving them hormonal therapy, and pretty soon you've got a mutated DNA. And therefore, you have a mutated message from God. All right? We are left with a transmutation of our DNA, and that is exactly what the mRNA technology or science has done. It's all about transmuting the human to a... what's the word?
Transhuman.
Thank you. Transhuman. Okay? Now, God holds our body together with a substance called lanolin. It is shaped like a cross. You see it up here. You see it here. With a substance called lanolin. It is shaped like a cross and connects each cell together. So you got a cell here, cell here, cell here, cell here. You got a cross. All right? In other words, God has done that. He holds us together by the cross, okay? Because they have turned down the word or transmuted the word that held mankind together like lanolin holds each cell together, then all they are left with is a transmuted DNA. In other words, if this trans psychology was permitted to continue, humanity would no longer be humanity. It would be a transhumanity. That's what they want. That's not what God wants. So we are looking at a message, a good news, that has been transformed from its original nature to the nature of something that changes it altogether, like denominations do with the Word of God. That is why we have a message today that in most churches they are no different than the Jesus Only or Oneness Pentecostals. They have a transmuted understanding of the gospel. The message or the good news brought to us by William Branham, who preached only what Paul preached, has been perverted into something with a different nature than what he brought to us. Therefore, those people, they can call themselves Methodist, they can call themselves Lutheran, they can call themselves Baptist, they can call themselves Pentecostal, whatever their little tag is, he, she, they, them, okay? They're perverted. I don't care if they're in this message, they are perverted to a perverted gospel. Paul saw the same thing back in the Alpha ministry of Christ. And in this Omega ministry, we have seen the same thing occur. Then the Apostle Paul gives us a warning and he says, but though we, now he says that includes myself, or an angel from heaven, preach any gospel unto you that is not the same as that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Now, I don't care if he calls himself with a message tag. He's cursed. All right? As we said before, so say now again, if any man makes no difference who he is, whether he be a fivefold minister or a laity, if he comes and preaches any other gospel, this word other is para. It's not the same. This word is para. And this means any gospel that is even close unto you than what you have received, let him be cursed. Like God said, thou shalt not eat of it. And the serpent said, you can eat of it. God said, lest you die. Oh, you won't die. You see, there's a change all the time. So Paul is warning us here that no matter how close it might be, it is, if it's one word off, it is Satan's kingdom. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. And I say the same thing. If I'm here to please you, I'm sorry, but I'm here to please God. All right. Now, Paul takes this warning even further in 2 Corinthians 11, 1-4. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, through his smartness, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that preaches another Jesus, this another is allos, which means of a different one altogether, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, and the word there is heteros, spirit, which is one of a different nature, which you have not received, or another gospel, again this word is heteros, or of a good news of a different nature, which you have not accepted, why do you put up with it so easily? It's like the prosperity preachers. We've got them in the message, we've got them in Pentecost mostly, and even among the Baptists. They're preaching prosperity, that God will bless you, bless you, bless you, and people pour their money to be blessed, and they're trying to buy favor from God. And the only one that gets rich is the preacher. All right, that's filthy, that is scummy, that is hellbound, okay? Now, Paul was concerned that a perverted gospel was making its way into the church of the living God, which was turning the people to a different Jesus altogether and bringing with it a perverted nature. Then Brother Branham, after warning us of the same thing, he tells us, now the very essence of the message was that was sent, that he is risen from the dead. We, his beneficiaries, we who share the resurrection with him, draw benefits from this by proving to the world that he is alive. Notice he tells us the message is about Christ. It is about how he is alive. And it must not only be preached but lived. Then he goes on to say, we cannot do it by word only. We cannot do it by some tradition of man. We only reflect exactly what we're pointing to. So I say to this, are these preachers out there preaching about Christ, or are they preaching about themselves? Are they preaching about Christ, or are they preaching about how we live in this world and make money in this world and do things? I'm not interested. I want to unpack, okay? And as Paul said, they were not pointing people to Christ, but to some doctrine or some church tradition or to some church itself. And when that happens, it's a perversion of the real message, which focuses on Christ and the power of the resurrection in you as an individual. Then he says, I'm afraid today that too many of us are not getting people to Christ. We're getting them to church, to a theory, but we must get them to Christ. He is the only one and the only one that has life. He that has the Son has life. Notice he says the message is not getting them to church. It is not getting them into some doctrine or theology, but it's getting them to Christ himself. And then he quotes 1 John 5 when he says, he is the only one and the only one that has life. He that has the Son has life. So let's turn in our Bibles to 1 John 5 and 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath or echoes the witness in himself. So if you don't have the witness in yourself, you won't be echoing that witness. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. Well, if God gave, what's the record God gave? This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm pleased to dwell. They don't believe God was in Christ. They don't believe that they believe that God was Christ, okay, like your fingers one. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. And he that hath or echoes the Son hath or echoes life. And he that hath or echoes not the Son of God hath or echoes not life. You can't expect someone who's not a Christian, filled with the Holy Ghost, to live like a Christian. That's why they've got tattoos up and down their body. They got spiked hair. They got spikes in their ears and nose and mouth. And listen, they got spikes more in places than I could tell you about. I mean, I could tell you, but it's a church, okay? So I don't want to say it. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. In other words, John is telling us the same thing Paul and William Branham is. That if you truly are speaking a true gospel and pointing to the true Christ, then you will echo his life. And if you are not, then you will not be echoing his life. And if you are not echoing his life, then what life are you echoing? You're echoing the devil. You can either echo God or the devil, and there's no other way. Now, from a sermon, Door and a Door. Now, the Lord cannot set down a book of rules and say a word and then come around and deny it. If you say you got the Holy Ghost and the Bible says a certain thing to do and you say, oh, I don't believe that, like John 14:12, you just remember that Spirit in you is not the Holy Spirit, because he can't deny himself. That's right. He can't deny himself. He wrote the word. He watches over it to perform it. See? So it's not the Holy, it's the Spirit, all right? It might be a spirit of the church. It might be the spirit of the pastor, but it might be the spirit of the world. It might be, I don't know what it is, but whatever it is, it might be a denominational spirit. I'm a Methodist, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Presbyterian, I'm a Pentecostal, I'm a message believer, okay? I'm this or that or the other. So you see, that is where all the denominational spirits come in. One or two guys get together and they get an idea that is contrary to the word and they go with it. And then others listen and get the same spirit on them and away they go. And I've seen it right in this message. Not only have I seen churches dancing around the aisles and thinking they're blessing God or they're praising God, those same churches actually go, they will go when it's hot outside, they'll all go down as a church together and they'll go to the brooks or to the river and they'll all go in and mixed bathe. Now, if that isn't a perversion of what God... Look, what system... I won't even go there. Just, y'all remember back from the 50s, you know, the women would roll around the mud and you'd see everything. That's filthy spirit, like a hog. But they do it in this message, they're doing it. They're doing it in the Philippines, they do it in USA. They're doing it in other places. And it's nothing but a denominational filthy spirit. One or two guys get together and they get an idea that is contrary to the word and they go with it. And then others listen and get that same spirit on them and away they go. I've seen it, like I said, right in this message. And I've seen it among some that even left this very church. He said it is the spirit, all right, but they can't, but they get one another's spirit instead of the Holy Spirit. Now, from choosing of a bride, he said the same applies of choosing a church. Now, you must pray over the church that you are fellowshipping in. And now, how many are really doing that? How many really went to God and said, where do you want me to go to church? Okay. Are you here because your parents were here? Or are you here because you know the word is here? Now, you must pray over the church that you are fellowshipping in. Remember, churches have spirits. Now, I don't want to be critical, but I realize that I'm an old man. So I could actually be saying this from Brian, not from Brother Brown, but I'm saying it from him, okay? And he was only like 50-some years old. And I got to leave here one of these days. I've got to answer at the day of judgment for what I say tonight or any other time, and therefore I've got to be dead earnest and truly convicted. But you go into a church, and if you watch the behavior of the church, you just watch the pastor a while, and you'll usually find that the church acts like the pastor. I hope, see, you're not bald because I'm bald and you're not bald. But you know what? He's talking about you go into a church and the pastor drinks his coffee with a little finger in the air. And you watch, nine out of 10 people will hold their little pinky up in the air. You go into a church and you see how the people are dressed and they're all dressed the same. If it's a worldly church, you see the splits up the skirts and all the girls have splits up the skirts. You go to a church that's worldly and you see all the girls making selfies and, you know, Botox, you know. It's nothing but, it's an earthly spirit, all right? Or do you go to a church where everyone is living godly and you also want to live godly? Sometimes I wonder if we just don't get one another's spirit instead of the Holy Spirit. You get to a place where the pastor's a real radical and carrying on, you'll find out the congregation is the same way. I'll bring you to a church where I've seen the pastors stand and jerk their heads back and forth. You watch the congregation, they do the same. You take a pastor that'll just gulp down anything, and usually the church will do the same. So if I was choosing a church, I'd choose a genuine, fundamental, full gospel Bible church if I was choosing one to put my family in. And from God keeps his word. He says, I went into the churches, and I say this with reverence now. I find that many times the churches, and I believe people, get one another's spirit instead of the Holy Spirit. You go into church and watch where the pastor maybe jerks his head, the whole congregation will do it. You go into a church where the pastor says he's got oil running from his hands, the first thing you know, the whole company believes that, and they have it. Going to a church where there's a lot of dancing and jumping up and down and running around. Now, I'm not condemning those things. I'm just speaking from an observation to present a point. If you get a pastor that's very emotional, the whole congregation will be emotional. You get a pastor that's starched and stiff, and the whole congregation will be starched and stiff. I believe you receive each other's spirit. So be careful, because I don't want you to all be a bunch of angry people. And I'm not angry. I'm just saying that I don't want you to be that way, because I'm just telling you the truth, okay? God keeps his word. And the reason I've always tried to stay on the Bible, I went into churches many times, just so that you get a little general picture. And I went into churches, and you watch this. You go into a church, and you'll find usually the way that the pastor acts. That's the way the congregation will act. See, I believe they get one another's spirit instead of the Holy Spirit. Well, that's possible, absolutely. You take a real good woman and marry her to a no-count man, he will either become a gentleman or she'll become no account. See? You just take one another's spirit. You do. Birds of a feather flock together. And you're a spirit being. That's what's the matter. Now, I'm getting back to Brother Branham's sermon, Rising of the Sun. And in paragraph 31, Brother Branham continues, "And if the life of the man that's dead be projected in you, you will live the same life that he lived." So preach Christ, and the people will look to Christ. Then they will act like Christ and talk like Christ and live like Christ. That's what he's talking about here. And that is exactly what the Apostle Paul said, that they have left Christ for theology and the other things instead of Christ. Now, Brother Brown continues, "If the blood of a man was a certain type, and you look and you took the blood from one man and changed the blood of the one man into another, he'd absolutely be that type blood." In other words, you take it all out, put another one in, if his body could do it. Okay. "And if your spirit that's in you is reckoned dead, and you are anointed with the life that was in Christ is upon you," Romans 8:1 says, "if the spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, it'll also quicken your mortal bodies." But remember, he said you got to be seed to be quickened. All right? That same life, that same powers, them same beneficiaries that he had here on earth from God. He redeemed you, a seed that was foreknown by God, whose names was put on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world, and that gospel light of the resurrection, the confirmation of the word. How did we know that we was in Christ? Because he proved what he talked about. How will I know the message of the hour? God proves what he promised and talks about. How will you say, is Christ in you the hope of glory? Paul taught us that his Holy Spirit will bear witness with your spirit. Jesus said, "The works that I do shall you do also, and even more shall you do, because I go to my Father." Brother Branham continues, "That is the identification that we are beneficiaries with him in the resurrection." He proves what he talked about. What he promised to do in Christ, he proved it on the resurrection. What he promised to do in the days of Moses, he proved it. What he promised to do in the days of Enoch, he proved it. In the days of the apostles, he proved it. And now in this day, he proved what he said. Because they are part of that seed that was represented on the book of life that he came to redeem back to God. Oh, what a message. "And Christ is the mystery of God," Brother Branham said, paragraph 74. "But the only way that you can actually be a Christian is for Christ to identify himself in you." How? We've got a stinger coming here. I hope everybody on the tape gets that too. See? You say, "Well, I'm a Pentecostal." That don't mean anything. It's Christ identified in you. That's when he has recognized you. But when Christ is identified in you, identifying himself, then you are Christ-like, which the word Christian means to be Christ-like. There's your identification, all right? Now, and since he is our identification, we should be identified with him by living for him. I went to a church in Congo, and they all sat around 2 hours of music before service and banging the bongo drums and making as much noise as they could. And when I got up to preach, all the big, heavy ladies were just totally exhausted. They could not even listen because they were totally exhausted. And I just rebuked the whole church. They had the spirit of the... There's a Pentecostal message preacher that taught them that you've got to make a lot of noise, you've got to dance, you've got to do this and such. They had the spirit of that preacher instead of the spirit of God. I said, William Branham's tapes and the music he plays before the tapes and before he preaches. It's godly. It makes you reflect in your soul. It's humbling. It's all these things. And just soft and lovely. That's the music you should be playing. Now, at the end of the service, you hear Brother Branham preach or singing other songs like there's going to be a meeting in the air and all these, you know, songs that are more lively. That's because they're inspired by the word. But they get their thing back. They got the horse, in back of the cart. All right. And so they're taking on the other ministers. And the pastor admitted to me, hey, we learned to do this from so-and-so. And I said, well, now you've learned different.
And then when I was telling them that, the three rainbows came. So I don't think I don't think God would have approved my message if I was preaching wrong.
So, and since he is our identification, then we should be identified with him by living for him. Now notice in Christ is a mystery of God, Brother Branham is speaking of identification and the same thing in Rising of the Sun. And this word identified means to cause to be or become identical. Do you realize that? If you're identified with Christ, that means you want to be identical to Christ. It means to conceive as united in spirit, outlook, or principle, to be or become the same. That is why the Apostle Paul said, I never came unto you with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the word with power. Brother Branham says the same thing throughout his sermon, Spiritual Amnesia. In paragraph 73 of Spiritual Amnesia, Brother Branham said, now, he said, you must be identified with it or you have spiritual amnesia. From Spiritual Amnesia, he said, we must be the disciples at Pentecost, identified with them. I was identified with Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, second chapter. I heard what he said. I believed what he said. I obeyed what he said. Now I'm identified in the same. Don't get spiritual amnesia because you'll identify yourself with something else. Stay right with the word. He was with the church when it was commissioned by Jesus Christ in Acts the 16th chapter, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and I want to be identified there. All the world to every creature, these signs shall follow them that believe, can be identified in that. Well, are you identified with that? Or have you got some spiritual amnesia that you find out that you believe those signs follows a believer? See, if you don't believe it, then you have a spiritual amnesia. See, you've forgotten that God promised that. He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Don't forget it. You can't forget it and be a Christian. So those who say only William Branham had John 14:12, he's saying they're not even a Christian. They're a denomination. You must be identified with it. That's John 14:12. To do the same thing he did, talk the way he talked. And this word identified means to cause to be or become identical, to conceive as united in spirit, outlook, and principle, to be or become the same. Now, from spiritual amnesia, Brother Branham said, you must be identified with St. John 14th chapter, the 12th verse. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Don't forget it. If you do, then you've got spiritual amnesia. You've forgotten who you are. What did he say there? You must be identified. You must become the same. You've forgotten what your testimony means. How about, he said, if you abide in me and my word in you, you can ask what you will and it'll be done for you. Are you identified there to believe that that is the truth? Mark 11, when he said, if you say to this mountain, be moved and don't doubt in your heart, but believe that what God said to you will come to pass, you can have what you said. Can you be identified there to believe that that is the truth? If it hasn't, then you're getting spiritual amnesia. And you forget, you lose your Christian balance. You can't tell where you belong. You say, well, I'm a Methodist. Well, I'm a Baptist. That's what I know about. I'm a Pentecostal. This, that, or the other. Now watch out. That may be the disease sign is showing on you, but you've got some spiritual amnesia. And again, from spiritual amnesia to whatever Christian has been, or whatever Christians have been, whatever believers has been, every believer now is identified with that same person. Whatever it is, you must be identified. Don't forget that. When you do, you've got spiritual amnesia. You've forgotten who you are. Now identified with him, with Moses when he crossed the sea. I was identified with Elijah in the days of Elijah, or Ahab, when they had to make a choice who they would serve, God or Balaam. I was with him on Mount Carmel when he had to take this choice. For we are identified in the body of the same God that he was identified in. So if we're identified in that body, then we must remember we were with him, or we were there with him, right? And don't forget this, identified means to cause to be or become identical, to conceive as united in spirit, to outlook in principle, to become the same. Paul said, until we grow up into him. Paul also said, he that is buried in Christ must put on Christ. That's the gospel he preached. That's the gospel of William Branham. That is the gospel every true fivefold minister will preach. From spiritual amnesia, Brother Branham said. So if we find out when the spiritual amnesia get a hold of the people, then they're in a bad condition. Now we find the same now. Now I want you must be identified. Somewhere you must show, your life shows tonight, where you are identified. You are identified either in Christ or out of Christ. You are not halfway. There's no such a thing as a drunk sober man. There's no black white bird. You're either saved or you're not saved. You're either a saint or a sinner, one or the other. And your spiritual attitude towards God or towards God's word identifies you exactly where you're standing. God's word vindicated and proved that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is just the same as it ever was on the day of Pentecost or any other time. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And your attitude towards that identifies whether you have a spiritual amnesia or not. That's right. No matter whether you're a deacon or even if you're a preacher, if it doesn't, they get it too. So we find out it's contagious and it hits the whole thing. You're either preaching Christ or you're preaching a church and a tradition or some pet doctrine. But your life will tell what it is, by their fruits you shall know them. And in his sermon, Messiah, Brother Branham said, they look like him, they act like him, they are his flesh, his blood, his spirit, amen. That's the way God's church is, his eagles, his messiahs. They look like him, they act like him, they preach like him, they do the works that he did. The things that I do shall he also. More than this shall he do, because I go to my Father, amen. These signs shall follow my eaglets, amen. They'll just do as I do. If my spirit is in them, then they'll do the works that I do. If they don't do the works I do, it's because my spirit's not in them. Therefore, what does it mean, the identified Christ? How is Christ to be identified? Who does he identify? How does it take place? When is it to take place? Why is it to take place? You are identified with the attitude that you express. From the spoken words, original seed, Brother Branham said, I'm a Branham because I was born of Charles and Ella Branham. That makes me a Branham because I'm their seed. Their two agreements with their sperm together made a seed, and that made me. When God and his word becomes one, hallelujah, that's when God's spirit waters the seed and waters the word of God. It produces God, and it's not the individual, it's God. You are dead, you're not yourself no more. You reckon yourself dead, hollowed out, waiting for the seed germ, then what is it? It isn't you no more, isn't the man, it's God in the man. It's the seed germ, like the beginning spoken word. God's word made manifest in the man, then it isn't the man, it's the man, the man has died out. He can't be a hybrid and a son at the same time. He's either a son of death or a son of life. So if he's a son of death, give it over to the devil and let him kill it. give it over to God a minute and let him kill the devil that's in you, run him out, hollow you out. Then let God plant his own life in you. Then it'll not be you no more. It's God's life, because it's God's word. Water by the Holy Spirit will produce the same thing. You see it? I just love to preach on that for a few minutes. But with 30 or 40 pages of scripture here, and I've got three or four. All right. Manifested the works, manifested the same by us, for it is the same word. Now, if you want to do the works of Christ, do the same thing he done. He that believes on me shall have my works. What is it? Believe what? He that is the original seed germ that come. Where is the seed? Here. Let me take these handkerchiefs. Here's a man that was supposed to be right here. This is a man that was supposed to be what? What happened? Eve hybridized it and bred it. What did it do? Then what did it do? Turned to death. Kept dying and dying. Now this one come out of that. Now here stays the word just the same. Here's the word laying here just the same. Now what happened? Here's the word. Now the word that God spoke to multiply and replenish the earth, it couldn't find a place to land. Finally, this word caught into the womb of a virgin. We'll speak of the two wombs after this afternoon. And what happened? From him came forth the germ life, the thing that gives the water, that gives the kernel its chance to reproduce itself. The spirit came out of him and went up. Here we are. We come along. What happened? We believe it. Now, what did Jesus say? He that believeth on me, see? He that believeth on me, the works that I do. The manifestation of the Holy Spirit come in the form of a dove come upon me and done this, not through high breeding, but through a virgin born, not the course of life, like breeding a child or husband to wife. No, not like that. Not a hybrid, but a virgin born. Now, through this, I'm giving this life that if you by faith will accept what Father, all the prophets, all the word of God, I will pour this life down upon you, and you can't do nothing else but produce the same thing that I am. There you are. The works that I do shall he do also. And what did he do? Just as the Father led him, what he saw, St. John 5:19 said, I do nothing till the Father shows me. What was he? Made himself a man? God was made flesh and dwelt among us. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. God's spoken word through a virgin brought forth a body, and in that body come the water of the Spirit, and washed by the water of the word, and then went in him, dwelt in him, and there come the life of God manifesting himself through Christ. God was in Christ, the anointed one. So in closing, from this sermon, spiritual amnesia, Brother Branham said, you can't forget it and be a Christian. You must be identified with it. What's identified mean? You must be identical to it. You must be identified with it. St. John, the 14th chapter, 12th verse. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. But don't forget it. If you do, then you've got spiritual amnesia. You've forgotten who you are. You've forgotten what your testimony is. And never forget this word, identified. It means to cause to be, become identical. To conceive as united in spirit, outlook, and principle. To become or become the same. To be or become the same. And from the rapture, he says, don't the Bible say in the last days there shall come false Christ, false Christ, anointed ones, falsely anointed to the word. Denominational anointed, but not to the word. For the word will bear record of itself. It don't need nothing else. It'll bear record of itself. And there will come false anointed ones. You got my tape on that. And that anointed. And if you'd call one and say, oh, are you Jesus? Oh, certainly not. They wouldn't stand for that. But when it comes to, oh, glory, I got the anointing, it's a genuine anointing. Now, remember, Caiaphas had that too and prophesied. So did Balaam have it and prophesy. But that don't have nothing to do with this inside. Unless that was God's seed, his genuine from the beginning, predestinated, you're finished. I don't care how much you shout, speak with tongues, run, shout. That has nothing to do with it. A cockaburro can count just as much as any of the rest of them. I've seen heathens raise up and shout and speak in tongues and drink blood out of a human skull and call on the devil. See? So you don't, any of them sensations and things, forget it. It's your heart in that word, and that is Christ. Bring it there and watch it. Make itself known, just as it opens up like any other seed and declares itself for the age that it's living. Therefore, by predestination, we are given a seed, a germ of life, a germ seed, and through the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon our germ seed, a gene seed, we are quickened and made to come alive and manifest the very life of God in the very DNA that was predestined in us before the foundations of the world. You know, we were in Him. We were in Him before the world was even framed. We were in Him. We were in the Logos, His Son, when He spoke the worlds. Wow. So that's why Brother Brown said you could have just a little piece of the Holy Ghost in you and you can create worlds. You got a little piece of the Logos in you, you can create worlds. And he said, go live on them. And through the experiential relationship with the one who reveals, we become one with the interpretation of the revelation by becoming one in manifestation. Then as Christ becomes the focus of our life, we enter into his manifested word, which brings us into oneness with it. And since the interpretation is the manifestation of the name of God, then we have moved from faith in the word to the reality of the word. By becoming part of that manifested word, this is when we receive the name and thus become bride and Mrs. Jesus. We have thus become a part of the interpretation of that word, for without a bride, there would be no groom. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful to be identified with your Holy Spirit, knowing your holy life is living in us. We ask your forgiveness where this physical life still has its ups and downs. It can develop disease. It can do different things, even have a stroke and things. But yet, Lord, we know your spiritual life in us is waiting and our body is waiting. And I'm so looking forward to entering that body. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.